was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, well, you might find.
All right, welcome into this week's episode of the Crunch Zone. Joe Kelly, that boy's good.
Dave Skull at Biggest Biscuit.
LJ Ness with LJ the Fiasco.
And the intro this week was You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones. We learned that LJ didn't know that was the Rolling Stones. You know what, when it comes when the band comes in on that, I before you hear Mick Jagger's voice, if you were like, this is Joe Cocker, right?
That's what I thought.
I can see it.
I guess. I don't know. I guess it's just so...
Mick Jagger's got one of the most unique voices in music to me.
Exactly. And that's, I guess, just growing up on classic rock, like, that's that's such a well-known track that I knew that from the time I was, like, 10 years old, you know?
Let It Bleed was one of the first, like, CDs I bought. It wasn't the first, but it was in that, like, first group of 20. I mean, it's such, I love that album. So
LJ Sylvia, well, fine. Yeah, that's fine, white people.
Yeah, he's like... He's like the Rolling Stones are just another great example of white men who stole my culture.
Yeah. Nice blues guitar, asshole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you mates from Liverpool really liked Muddy Waters and B.B. King, eh? Yeah, we can tell. Big Chuck Berry fan? Big on the influence list?
You're not wrong.
So this has been sort of a hellish week. It started with LJ and I doing the post-game show on Thursday.
Being disemboweled on Thursday. Awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I know the post game was bad. Being there was pretty bad too.
Yeah,
we all have our own our own stories from that night.
The game was bad enough. It's just the problem with the call-in show is that some callers are just you know, man. I mean, I get it. A lot of people call in. They're still very, very raw, and it goes hand in hand with what I always talk about on this podcast. It's perfectly reasonable to say take 24 hours and get over this. And with Virginia, I even would have said take it till Monday. You know, I would have given a wide range. But part of that comes also know yourself. And if you can't call into a post game show and not call players stupid, not
talentless,
not say they're talentless, least talented, like just taking personal shots that also aren't correct. Or if you're going to call in and say that we need to fire the coach on March 1st and promote that other guy. And when you say, what other guy? You know, the one with coaching experience. Oh, the one that's won about 48% of his games? Yeah, sure.
If you don't know the guy's name, Trent Johnson, by the way.
Right.
If you don't know his name, sign one that you probably shouldn't promote him.
Dave, it was like the funniest thing. Because, you know, LJ and I are trying to be cool and be respectful of everybody. But then you come in with something that over the top where it's like, okay, your solution is a week before – conference tournament play, we need to fire the coach, okay? And then we're going to bring in the guy that you can't remember his name. He's that stellar. He's that appealing that you can't even remember his damn name.
Like, I got all the respect in the world for his ability, like his facial expressions and his memeability, but I think he's right where he belongs, you know?
Dude, he needs to be an assistant coach.
In the first mate's chair, you know?
That's what it is. I mean, obviously, I'm not seeing him coach one damn thing this year. I'm sorry. I've looked at the bench, and he's just sitting there. Like, he's the rock.
I honestly think
team.
He's there for Padgett.
He's just there to, like...
He knows how to organize and run a team, you know what I mean? Which I'm sure he's there to help with practice.
Hey, Joe.
And you know, but he is the least active player or coach on the bench, you know?
Oh, God,
Greg Paulus is yelling.
Yeah,
he's up. He's
cheering the crowd on.
He's as into the game as Dave is. You know what I mean? As far as directing the players and coaching actively.
Joe, 276 and 264. That's his overall record. 276 and 264.
Okay, so he's not 48%.
But about 53%.
51.
Somewhere 51%. Around
51, 52, 53%. He's won a
276 and 264, is that what you said?
Yeah, 51%. He was SEC Coach of the Year in 2009.
When he was at LSU.
He's done dick ever since then. you know, we're not –
Is that a technical term?
It's so hard not to be cursing for the past two post games, but now that we're here, we're a little bit more candid. We're not gonna like drop a whole bunch of F-bombs on you, but it's so frustrating to hear that. That was like one of the last calls, and I'm like, the answer to our problems is getting rid of Coach David Pageant, getting Coach Trent Johnson a start.
Well, please don't get me wrong. I'm not taking a run at Coach Johnson at all. I'm saying
neither
like,
am I.
None of us are. No, I'm saying that like, but that's a just ridiculous putting, assessment that we should fire the like. Come on, man.
Putting said statement in proper context, you know, I just it all goes back to and I talked about this week. I did write a piece about how much like honestly, and I know it's not everybody, and I know most of the fan base is still. Has the right mentality, but there's just too many vocal people that are disappointing the hell out of me this year. That essentially it was about I thought we agreed on a few things.
All right.
Back in October, you know, when we did the Crunch Zone After Dark. One, that this team deserved more support than any team essentially that's ever been at Louisville. More undivided, unqualified support. Two, David Padgett's our coach, and there's really nothing we could do about it. He was our only choice. I don't give a shit what anybody says. They're wrong. There was nobody else we could bring in. You can't. You have to have continuity in the system. It was 48 hours before practice started, and the players wanted him. And miss me with all this practice was easier stuff. Whatever. That was a knee-jerk reaction by some of the players that said that. Pitino was the hardest coach to play for in the country. Anybody's practices were going to be easier. I think people are really harping on that too much. But these players have been through way too much for people to spout ignorant garbage at them all season. Just cheer for the team. If you don't like Padgett, fine. He's not going to have a great season. He's going to be gone. If you do like Padgett, you know that was the whole point. Like either Padgett's going to do extraordinary things and keep the job, or he's not going to do extraordinary things, and you're going to get somebody else after the season. So just support him while he's here. Shut the hell up. Keep your ignorance to yourself, and let's move on.
You literally have two losses left. That's it. You have two more games. Two or three more games with Padgett at helm.
And Quentin Snyder is Louisville basketball. All right, he's a lifelong fan. Went to camps here when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. He decommitted because Pitino stopped calling him essentially. And then he was so tied to this program that he called Pitino the day before signing day mm-hmm. and essentially said, I want back in. I love this place too much. And since Pitino had missed on a few recruits, he brought him back in. And all that kid has done is work his ass off, become a great shooter, being a very solid point guard, had a couple of bad games, and you all talk shit about him. Like, he deserves to be revered as a Louisville native who stayed here and played ball and played his ass off. I love the kid. He's always got a place in my heart.
Well, so this has been the year where the Crunch Zone's kind of like I really appreciate Mike Lindsay and Mark Blankenbaker for getting this whole thing started and carrying it and creating something that we were able to kind of come in at the last minute on and kind of reap the benefits of it, you know, as far as getting some exposure and some opportunity. So I don't ever want to forget that, and I don't ever want our group to lose sight of the fact that Mark and Mike really did a lot of work to lay this down.
Absolutely.
And then we really – I mean, I'm not speaking lightly when I say we came in and started reaping benefits immediately. I mean
– Well, look at me.
I was doing this – but, I mean, you know, I was doing this podcast for a couple months, and the next thing you know, I'm getting credentialed. And then –
It's crazy.
And then I was able – Mark trusted me enough. We were able to bring Dave on. And Dave's been killing it. And then at the end of the summer – you and Matt came on board.
Meteoric rise.
And then from there, it was like, oh, shit. LJ and Matt, like, welcome aboard, man. So we're going to be doing this now, and we're going to be down here. Mm-hmm. Now, it's been amazing, and it's been awesome, and I don't regret any of it, and I'm grateful for every opportunity that we get. I really do enjoy it. But I will say this. Ignorance is bliss, and there was something kind of nice about only being accustomed to the U of L fans that I knew and that I tailgate with, that I party with, that I watch games with. Because I didn't see a lot of the buffoonery in our fan base. I missed it because I wasn't around it.
Yeah.
And it's not – I don't know what the correlation is. You can't say it's these people didn't go to U of L, so to them they're just fans of the athletic department. Because
yeah,
I've got U of L grads that are insane. And I've also
I know plenty of people who didn't go here
that are some of the best fans on earth. So you can't really say that, you know. But – some of y'all are out here wilding, and y'all need to tone it back. Yeah. I think some people just enjoy being miserable, guys.
Yeah. Well, with me, it's just like I knew I had made it when someone told me I was a homer. And they said me and you were homers now because we're on a U of L postgame show.
Hey, I made it because I got – somebody said I was they made a post about me on 24/7.
That's all.
Shout out to you for misspelling my name, though.
Yeah.
Step it up.
Rip that all to pieces.
But, yeah, he said that I was towing the company line or singing the company tune. Look, this is the last time I'm going to say it because I don't owe anybody anything. I don't owe anybody an explanation. I don't owe anybody anything other than to honor my obligations when I tell you guys I'll be here and to be a good husband. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, kiss my ass.
Well,
I have not been given any marching orders, ever. The only thing that I've been told from the day that we stepped down at U of L is don't say anything you wouldn't want to explain to people on Floyd Street to their face, and don't talk shit about the sponsors.
That's it.
That's it, man.
That was the only rule I was given.
That's business.
You know, people told me. Ask anybody on the street, say, you know, would you talk shit in your business? Would you talk shit about the people that pay your bills?
No.
Okay, well then shut up about it.
Yeah.
Because we can't. Yeah.
And if you don't think we've been critical of U of L, you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, we've been very critical of many facets of U of L.
I mean, the craziest part is that the Crunch Zone crew doesn't even necessarily all agree. And we've sat in here and argued on a podcast where it's like, I feel heavy about one thing. LJ's like, Joe, you need to chill out on that. Mark's over here screaming about another thing. Dave and I are like, woo. You know, so I mean, that's the cool thing of our dynamic is we don't sit down and say, we don't flip a coin to say who's going to take a side on something. We turn the mics on and we start talking. If we agree, great. If we don't, let's have it out.
There's two things. One, if they ever need to hear dissenting opinions, I feel like we had four very distinct positions on Jurich, you know, when he was removed. I mean, we were either on one side or the other. We might have been on the same side of him being gone, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
And different levels of you know, of intensity and, you know, and steadfastness on that. And second, I guarantee none of us to speak to that, like, we don't pick sides and decide that we have never, ever said something we don't truly believe.
True.
We might not say things.
I may walk things back later because after 2 weeks of seeing it or something new comes at you.
Right.
Like, well, I guess that was a knee-jerk reaction at the time.
You could change your opinion. And also, like you said, there might be things we don't say that we do believe, but we're never going to say something we don't believe.
Right.
Well, I walked my thing back about Pageant after he won the Notre Dame game. I called him the post game. I said, it's time to give him the job. You were just like, hold your horses. Now I'm just like, bad mistake. And I'm willing to admit that. But
imagine if he had knocked off UVA, how difficult it would be to make an argument either way. I mean, because even right now, I'm like, he had us prepared to play UVA in two games far better than Rick ever
absolutely.
Did.
And that
let's
guy
see
say,
what he does the third time. If
you beat Florida State, which is a possibility, I mean, I'm pretty sure. I'm not fairly sure on anything. I'm not even going to say that. But my thing is this.
If we do knock off Virginia in the ACC tournament, we're coming in doing an emergency podcast and starting off with Ozzy Osbourne's Flying High. But it's going to be 2 straight hours of us yelling, whoa!
Well, here's my thing, man. I hope you guys just allow me to get this out. But, you know, me doing this podcast and me being a part of Crunch Zone, it has been a meteoric rise, and it has been something that happened in August. And since then, it's been one just whirlwind after another, and it's been great times with you guys and being here and being on the radio and being get credentialed now and being at the games and whatnot. But I don't want anybody to think that just because I'm getting all this newfound success, I'm a changed person. I'm like holier than thou, and then I'm feeling myself a little bit too much, and I'm not. I'm literally just a fan like you. I'm yelling and screaming. Like Joe told me yesterday, he was just like, I've noticed something about you, LJ. You like to scream at games. You like to scream at the TV. I'm that guy. I'm that fan. That's who I am.
That's why we like to watch at home.
I don't want people looking at me anything. Right. I don't want people looking at me differently because I'm with the Crunch Zone and they think I'm too good to do anything. I try to say thank you as much as I can. I try to retweet and like everything people say about me, whether good or bad, I try to acknowledge it. So, I mean, I know that's coming out of left field with you guys, but I'm just saying some things and some that, you know, Joe has said to me a couple weeks ago. It really stuck with me because I don't see where people would get that for me that I'm feeling myself or I'm too arrogant or cocky right now. I don't
understand. I mean, we ain't shit.
No, man. That's
true.
let's get this out of here.
But, like, real quick, though, like I said, then you can, you know, counterpoint this, but I just don't want you to think that, like, you don't know me. And, I mean, you know me from Bucketheadism and Bucketheadology. That's it. I mean, you know me on this. I think I do a shitty job on this podcast at times. I think I talk way too fast on the radio at times. But I'm just thankful for this opportunity. And I'm not up here just, like, looking down upon the minions of Card Nation. Like, ha-ha, look at me.
I got to be honest, man. The only thing that's ever bothered me, the only criticism, like, if you don't like my work, that's fine, man. It's not for everybody. You can't please everybody. But when we were all kind of getting in that debate a couple weeks ago, and we're not going to rehash it, but – Dave and I were called by, it was basically that we're upper class and we think we're better than others. Buddy, I am hardline middle class. We might even be upper lower. I'm not really sure how the dynamic works in 2018.
Me personally, I'm lower middle class.
Yeah.
By income standards.
Yeah, that's where we are, like hardcore.
I'm not a homeowner right now, you know what I mean? So like, dude, in my background, while we were middle class my whole life and very comfortable, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We never wanted for anything. My parents came from humble backgrounds, and they never let their kids forget it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were never treated that. You know what I'm saying?
And I moved out of my parents' house when I was 17, so I don't want to hear anything
from
about
anybody.
Being upper
class. Yeah, yeah. And
I'm just not out here broadcasting struggles I had. I'm happy to be where I am now. I'm very grateful to have made it out of where I came from.
I wasn't joking
yet last week when I said about the high school chemistry teacher that told me if I weren't incarcerated, dead, or on probation by 30, he'd buy me a car. Colon cancer got him before I could get my car.
Oh,
shit.
Man, that's awful. But, you know, coming from military,
I was
going to
get that car, though.
You were going to get it.
I was going to get that Crunch Zone van.
We're still going to get it someday.
Oh, somehow.
But growing up on military base stuff, you come up from a diverse background. You know, I know people from every damn place, every background, every country. You know, we all went to school together, and it was nothing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We were all the same. And then my adult life, I've lived in every part of town. You know, every different economic, I don't know, background you can think of. I've been Coinstar poor. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, man. Fetching quarters out the seat cushions.
You know what I'm saying? Like, those are things I've done as an adult. You know what I mean? But it's to be called upper class or something because I think we should elevate the public discourse was amazing to me.
Yeah, and it just goes to show that you're not going to be able to please 100% 100% of the time. And we're not here to try to do that. And sorry for this kind of going off on the side. I think this all is a good way to go into the fact that we're all very fatigued with a portion of the fan base.
People act like we're picking fights. We're not. If people are getting offended by stupid stuff and then acting like we're the ones that are offended, you know what I mean?
And that's the problem. That's why I'm going to take kind of a small time Twitter hiatus from communicating with anybody that I don't know in real life and I'm not cool with.
For me,
once the basketball season ends,
it's been all jokes and sports for a while now. But and then I don't respond to people that say stupid shit.
Well, it's just like, for me, man. It's hitting a point where you can't have any sort of disagreement. And I know I'm quick to argue with people, but you can't even have a disagreement without somebody saying, "Oh, you're offended." And man. I'm trying to educate you on what the women's team is.
I think that part and the part you know, people taking shots when they can, like, "Oh, the post game show is terrible, it's unlistenable, but I like the podcast." Well, you can't have it one way, jackass. I mean, what do you want to do? You want to be jovial? I'm not Mark Ennis. I'm not Blinkenbaker. We're not that.
You did it for how many
years?
I'm
not going to sit here and just let you just call kids stupid and call them talentless and not say anything about it. I'm not going to sit here and make you make dumbass decisions about, "Oh, we need to hire this guy as a coach," when he has a 51% coaching record. I'm not going to say anything and just let you just vent. And that's what I mean. Like, we had one person come in the other day, and then we can move on, guys. I'm sorry. But
she's like,
"Think you guys are being rude." Well, have you listened to the show? Well, actually, I just turned it on. Well, then shut the hell up then. You didn't hear the show. You didn't hear anything.
That was
just
my
say
problem.
It.
Somebody said, "Y'all are being incredibly rude." And I said, "Well,
they called a kid
stupid,
classes and stupid."
And she said, "Oh, are you serious?
Oh, didn't hear
never
that part.
Never mind then.
Sorry." Yeah. I'm like, "Well, what the hell do you want to do?"
Come on. You can't get mad at the reaction if you didn't hear the initial.
It's like you can't win either way because people, when you were started doing the post game, they're like, "Well, Joe's changed. He's too positive. He's just being like he's just glossing over stuff." And then when you guys get calls from people and they're assholes and you guys respond to it, it's like, "Well, you're being dicks. Like, what do you what do you want?"
It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't understand. And like I said, the fan base.
This is why Sweeney and Locke don't take calls,
right?
Man.
Right. And the fan base, I blame Coach Too. I will forever blame Coach Too because he has divided this fan base. No one is in his corner anymore. But the fan base is turning.
No,
each other.
No, they are.
Excuse
they're
me.
Going. Nobody was in his corner for like a week, and then as soon as they saw the first loss, people already started going
excuse
back
me.
To his corner. And now all of a sudden, it's back up to
none
like 20-25% of the fan base, it seems like, that are yearning for that jackwagon to come back to
none
town.
None of us are in his corner.
Right.
Now, granted, like I said, if we can take, like, the Matrix style, you can download his coaching stuff. If you can download his coaching memory and put it into Padgett, we'll be great. But none of us want that person back. I'm sorry for the tangent.
Man, sometimes it happens. Like, but yeah, Dave, that's the biggest thing for me is that I was like, when I got the opportunity and said, okay, I can't be the cynical dick that I am, you know? I need to tone that back a notch. Need to be kind of be harsh but fair.
Harsh but fair.
An emphasis on fair. And it was like, well, Joe's a sellout. No, he's just so happy. I'm like, rabble, selling rabble, out rabble. For what, man? How much you think I make doing this?
$1 million.
Like,
we're not upper class, media, dude.
That's yeah, that's is. Yeah.
You're just a fan.
Six figures.
Whatever makes you upper class. Is
you're just a fan, dude. Just like the rest of us. We're all just fans who just love our program. I hate to see that we're going through tough times right now. That's it.
So y'all want to get
no.
Dave, if you've got anything at all you want to say about UVA or NC State, go for it. LJ, I think you and I are
I'm
spent.
Done.
Is that, okay.
I'm going to sit here and listen to Dave.
I'm not going to say much.
Okay.
Because
we seriously, we did a two-hour postgame Thursday.
I'm dead on NC State. We can get to that. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm dead on the inside from that already. But it just – it broke my heart to – It broke my heart, man. Like, I saw a team that was prepared, that played their ass off. Go ahead, dude. Play well for 39 minutes and 59 seconds. You know, and literally, I'm not going to – we all know there was 10 things that had to happen in that last minute for it to end that way. 10 things.
McMahon, 10 things that all have like a 1% chance.
Right. McMahon misses two free throws. A 90% free throw shooter misses two free throws. Darius Perry is within 10 feet of the shooter. Like, that's something that he's a freshman. He doesn't know. He's a tenacious defender. That's in his nature. He should have been told. But he just in the moment, he plays defense. I don't care if it was a foul or not. He shouldn't have been that close to the
right.
game. He just shouldn't have been. We travel on the baseline. Even though Ding was told by the coach and every player on the court that he
and
couldn't
the referee.
Move. The referee eight times. Like, for anybody who thinks that the referee – I saw a couple people saying, the referee didn't say it. No, I was staring at the referee because it all – it's so funny. Like, for some reason, I noticed all of that far more than normal before mm-hmm. because – and now I realize why, because Tony Bennett had said something to the referee. He said something. He said it postgame. He said, I told him to watch the travel. So – to counter that, essentially, I guess the referee told Ding like 10 times, you need to stay right here. And the Virginia players, if you notice, were doing this. They were looking at the referee and doing this. They were all telling the referee the same thing. They were saying, watch the travel. And lo and behold, Ding travels. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't, after seeing all of that with my own two eyes, he moves. And I'm just like, I just yelled, oh my God, before he blew the whistle. I just went, holy shit, you know, sitting in the stands. I just couldn't believe it. And then they hit a bank 25-foot three-pointer. Like,
so when we – I went into autopilot for
never
the post-game
like
show. My body just kind of like – my brain shut down, and it was like, okay, we're just read off the sheet. I wrote down everything, you know, like all of our advertising plugs. So I had a script in case, like, my brain just did not want to cooperate. And I look over at LJ, man, and he looked like the dude in Get Out. When he's just staring at the screen, like some tears, like single tear dropping out, I'm like, "Come on, buddy." He goes, nah. "Like you just made a sound effect. It wasn't even words." And we hopped on and did it, Dave. I could not believe it. Banked a three with 0.9 seconds.
I'd say about, and just to our fan base's credit, that crowd was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was full and loud as hell from the first minute. Like it was every time we were on defense, everybody stood up from the first half on, and I was incredibly proud of the crowd. At the end of the game, it was like they snatched the soul out of everybody in that building. Like more than half the crowd didn't move. Like they were just standing there. After the team left the floor, the crowd was still there.
Yeah.
You know, some people left, but I was standing in my seat. I was just sitting there like, it hurt. I mean, it hurt. I don't remember because I've like we talked about before, as I've gotten older, it's been easier to take losses. I don't remember the last time I was sick to my stomach after a loss because my stomach was in
Kenneth
knots
Fareed.
For the last 5 minutes yeah. of the game.
Kenneth Fareed. Mm-hmm. And I never went to bed Thursday night. Like, I got home yeah. from
I think
the
2014 UK U of L Sweet 16 was the last
see,
time for me.
See, and like, everybody mentions that one, but that one, I don't know. I think because we'd come off the year of the Cardinal, I was able to be like, well, you know, we had a good run. This stuff happens. But this one coming off, like, we just needed something positive and we needed something good. And this was as dejected as I've been ever.
Did the
ever.
Coup of Honest give
worst in
speeches?
Person? No, it didn't.
Oh, when they came back out for senior day, there were about, I heard, roughly 300 people there when Q and Honest came back
they
out.
They took pictures and stuff, too, with the fans.
Everybody kind of cleared out.
That's what I'm saying. They
no, they decided no, not they to because there was nobody there.
Well, they didn't. I was waiting for them to speak, but they normally when they speak, they don't go back to the locker room first.
They normally don't get their guts ripped out either.
I know, but I'm saying like if you leave leave the court and don't tell anybody you're coming back out,
that's fair.
Everybody
man.
Leaves.
That's fair, and I get that. But what do you honestly think would happen putting a mic in front of a 22-year-old at that moment?
But I'm saying like I don't blame any of the fans for leaving. Nobody knew they were coming back out.
I don't blame anybody involved in this, man. I'm saying it was an all-around crappy situation. They didn't let the fans know. The fans also didn't stick around because why would they? And then when the players came out, that's also not on Quentin and Honest. I think to me, it's just one more crappy thing that's happened to these two seniors. It's not on them. Kenny Klein should have told somebody or
somebody
should have
made an
announcement.
Hey, because that's part of the reason why I stood there. Well, at first my guts got ripped out, but then I was like, look, if they're going to speak, I'm going to stay. Right. And
maybe they did. Maybe I didn't hear correctly. You know, who knows? I'm not.
Once they leave the court. Nobody thinks they're coming back out
right.
Unless you make an announcement that says – because I didn't expect them to speak after they left the court. I was like, dude, they've got to be devastated.
I mean, who would want to hear that, though? I mean, who would want to go out there and speak is what I'm saying. I wouldn't. Like, when they lost to South Florida, I was at the game. They
absolutely
left.
Not. The only reason why I'm responding is because he said that –
Yeah, I understand. I'm saying Cal Keurig, they left. They didn't come back on the court that game.
I thought that was Patino's call.
It probably was, Dick.
Because we lost by 15 to South Florida on senior night.
Yeah. Well –
Anyway, so obviously we earned that win and we lost it, and I felt my guts were ripped up, and mostly because I felt for the kids. Like, can't they have anything
Sick.
Nice?
Sick.
Nope.
Can they have anything nice? We haven't won one of our big games this year.
We had a caller call Sick. In and say, this is what it looks like to be cursed.
Yep.
And at some point, you're like, I don't know, man. Maybe you're onto something.
Yep.
Especially Quentin. I mean, come on, dude. Give them something.
4 years of misery for that kid, man.
Give him something.
4 years of misery for that kid. And I'm going to wait to get to NC State game before I really rant on what I want to rant about. But sick to my stomach for him.
And Honest. Because, I mean, Quentin's Louisville basketball, and you can say what you want about Honest, but, I mean, he came here from Egypt. He's a, regardless of the struggles he's had, he's a great mm-hmm. kid.
Yeah.
And he's had some beautiful moments. And I really I wanted it for both of them. Like, they're just good people.
Yeah. Just an overall good person, man. And you just hate that for him.
And Ray, because we're probably not going to see Ray again. Nope. I mean,
now Ray's gone.
I don't know. Right. These are good kids. They're a resilient bunch. They're strong-minded, and they work their ass off, and they deserve this.
They deserve better than that.
They deserve better than this season.
They deserve better than that. You want to move forward? After
yeah,
that?
Let's okay. go. Everybody knows what happened in the Virginia game, and frankly, it got played. I didn't watch ESPN
Loop.
For 24 hours.
It's going to be all over the shots of the year and all that.
For the rest of our lives, yeah. You're going to hear, don't turn the game off. We remember what happened in Louisville, Kentucky.
Where were you at when Virginia hit that shot? You remember that shot? I mean, in about 5 years, oh, man, that Virginia game. It's going to be something that you're going to remember. Like, I haven't had my heart ripped out since Morehead State in the Free game, and I haven't had my heart ripped out since 2014. But there's been some buzzer beater shots, just like, oh man, like the Marquette game back in the 90s when you know Brian Wardle hit a shot, you know
Wardle,
that hurt. You know Travis Diener and all those guys hitting shots late. I mean, it all hurts, but
we got that back out of their ass.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah,
after that last Diener buzzer beater, then we had Reese Gaines, Garcia,
Taquan Dean,
and Jerry Smith.
Yeah.
All hit buzzer
Everybody
beaters
got
against,
one.
Against
Everybody
them.
Got one. And so we got them. We paid Marquette back, but NC State. And let me just start off with this. And Joe, I know we did post game. I'm gonna start off on Bissy. You can finish because Joe's dead inside, and so am I. This guy called in yesterday, and he was telling us about being, you know, slamming players, and he doesn't want to hear it, and blah blah blah. Dingadale, I really hope that you go pro. I really do. I don't think. If Coach Patino couldn't get you to play within your team and play for your team and be a team player and get your team involved, I know damn well David Padgett's not going to be able to do it. And I know damn well Chris Mack or whoever else is not going to be able to do it. I guarantee it.
I think that was from me.
I guarantee it.
Sorry, I don't
know. So, Dingadale, it's time to go ahead and leave, man, because obviously the selfish play, and it's been pointed out by every website, by even Eric Crawford and Jeff Greer are saying the same thing. They're not naming names, but the selfish play has gotten to a point where I don't want to watch it anymore. I don't want to watch you anymore. I'm done. Yesterday, you have 20 points, yeah. You took 85 shots. You forgot your teammates the last 10 minutes of the game. You drive, you dish, nobody's there. You turn the ball over. The fadeaway shot that's not dropping for you. Meanwhile, Quinn Snyder, he should have demanded the ball. But then again, doesn't make a difference when you're not going to get it. It's a black hole. It's a black hole, and it pisses you off to see it. That Dangadel squandered this team's opportunities down that stretch last night. It to me, yeah. This guy was like, well, he has 15. What do you want him to do? I'm like, I want to pass the damn ball.
I want him to have 5 assists.
I want him to have some assists.
Honestly, yesterday, I'm not cutting you off. He really didn't have that many turnovers, and he actually shot a pretty good percentage. But it's situational.
Right. Yeah. That's the problem. He
was doing great. He was doing great.
Until the last 2 minutes.
Before then. And I'm just like, these turnovers, Honest can't catch the ball at his knees. Honest can't. He's losing the ball in traffic.
It's situation because for the most part yesterday he had 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and I think 2 turnovers. You know, like, and I think he shot at one point. It was like 7 for 13. I don't know he finished. You know, I have to check it. Yeah. But
for me, it doesn't matter
it's
how much
situational.
Dang, it doesn't matter how much Dang scores for me. The team plays better when he's consistently distributing the ball.
Oh yeah, like, I 100% agree.
That's my thing
you.
For him. Like Dang could have 40 and shoot 60% for the game. And that might not necessarily be as impactful even as – well, I don't want to say 40. But he could have 25. But if he's not getting 2 or 3 assists and VJ doesn't get them either, then where are the assists coming from?
VJ's so scared to shoot,
man. He was 7 for 15 from the field, which is not bad.
It's not.
But what was his shooting in the last, like, 5-minute stretch
would be my question.
Because I agree with you. He was shooting lights out.
Most of
the
game he was great. It's just that he also found Honest for a dunk twice, and then in the last 5 minutes there were two or three plays where that pick and roll was open again, and he never looked. He just threw it up and he got tossed on one of them.
It was
situationally. It's like he falls in love with it. It's like, dude, do you remember how you got here? You were playing a balanced game. You were shooting when you were open, mm-hmm. and distributing when you weren't, and then all of a sudden it just turns into shooting all the time. I'm not crapping on Ding. It was frustrating this year because we know he's our most talented player, and when he looks to distribute, we are such a better team.
The thing for me that Darius did earlier in the year, and he knocked it off, and he's gotten a lot better. He still does it occasionally, but VJ and Dang are notorious for it. They get the ball, they dribble up the entire clock, and then with 4 seconds left, they kick it to a guy to take a terrible shot, mm-hmm. that has, you know, a snowball's chance in hell of dropping, and then people get mad at the player who took the shot. Right. And you're missing out on the point that there's not a whole lot you can do when you're just – spotted up watching a dude dribble
because
he's killed the off ball rotation.
How many times yesterday did the Orioles yell, give Q the ball, get the ball to your point guard,
who had 6 assists, by the way.
I mean, he's just like, you got to be like, at one point we all saw it. Q just said, and for lack of a better word, F it, give me the, I'm shooting every time I take it now. And I don't blame him.
What happens when you have one selfish guy who's ball dominant is that it trickles down and everybody starts becoming selfish because they're terrified and they're scared and they're worried that if they pass the ball up, they're not going to get it again. And we've seen the product of that this year.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, man. It's frustrating to see Jordan Ward, who was a terrific shooter, rotting on that bench.
I don't have any comment on that because I'm not at practice, honestly.
There has to be a reason.
Dave is not stupid. There has to be a reason he's not on that court. It's probably defense,
Biscuit, but listen to me on this point. If it's defense, then a lot of other guys on this team should not be playing if it's defense.
No, I'm with you. And it felt like the last time he got significant minutes.
He got worked in the last game I remember, and I can't remember the opponent.
I
want to
say it was
like,
oh,
I thought
this is why.
He scored a lot of points, no. It was before that, for me, that I saw him in person. It felt like his length was starting to be a benefit even when he was out of position. It was just about being out of position. But, you know, he was able to make up for it with his length, you know, and his athleticism a little bit. His offense, at least we generally know most of the time it's going to make up for his defensive liability.
True.
You would think that he could steal some minutes,
Biscuit.
But I'm not in practice like Joe just said.
I know we are not in practice.
I'm more upset that Malik's not getting run.
That's true too.
Malik's getting a little bit.
30 seconds, 1 minute here, 2 minutes there. But here's the thing: last night I was up, couldn't sleep, so I googled, I Twitter searched the name Alex War or his dad, and I went through, and he has retweeted all the stuff about his son transferring. He retweeted it all, so it lets me know Jordan War more than likely might not be returning here.
Well, we don't know.
I don't know. I'm not. It's all speculation on my part. Nothing's concrete.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that it's gonna the first job of whoever becomes the permanent head coach is gonna be re-recruit everybody we have on our roster.
Here's my thing, man. And like, I don't get that because isn't Jordan Moore's father a coach?
He's a coach. Yeah,
I don't get that.
But
I don't get that.
Most coaches will stay out of it.
He retweeted his son all the subpoena. Jordan Moore is gone. Twitter transferred. Blah blah blah. He retweeted it all the way down. Like he retweeted 5 people saying, and I'm just like, that's not a good sign. Oh. That's not great, but, you know, I hope the new coach, whoever it is, I hope the new coach says, you know what, Jordan, I see what we're doing wrong with you. I see how we can tweak this to tweak. Same thing with VJ. Same thing with Darius. Same thing with Ryan McMahon. And if Dane comes back, same thing with him.
See, I'm of a different – see, like, I listened to a little bit of like about 5 minutes the other day of Andy and Locke because I was in the car. And they are of the opinion that our roster isn't good next year. And I actually think the bones are there for a decent team.
Hell yeah.
We just need a good coach and somebody to develop the young talent. And but if everybody leaves, it's a whole different story. That's what I'm worried about.
And you got Enoch coming in this year. So
hopefully.
If he stays.
Maybe.
Hopefully. If he stays.
He may decide to just test the NBA.
He may.
You got the body for it.
Yeah, he certainly does. The biggest man I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he's a force.
It's nuts.
You touched on something that I've got taken down in my notes. You know, last summer was difficult, but we had Lamar to look forward to.
Yep.
We thought up until Rick Pitino got bounced that this was going to be the potential, all the makings for a Final Four run.
Yeah.
So we had all that stuff to get us through last summer and kind of carry us through all the drama that's been, you know, around being a Louisville fan. Guys, this summer is going to be hard.
Rough.
I'm talking hard, because let me tell you what we're going to be sitting around doing in June and July. And the current zone might take a month off if it gets too crazy. Football. We have no idea. We have no idea what fifth-year Bobby looks like. Nobody does. Fifth-year Bobby ain't a thing until the season kicks off. We don't know how Puma's going to be. I mean, sure, there's all that talk about Bobby's going to be able to run more of a traditional Bobby-style offense than he did with Lamar. And that's fine and good until we see what that is. I mean, no way in hell is anybody going to convince me until I see the product on the field that, well, losing Lamar is a good thing. I don't buy into that.
Right.
Bobby didn't know what to do with him. Nobody knows what exactly to do with Lamar, but Bobby's too smart in football to tell me that wasn't a good thing.
My only thing with that is I think that he outsmarted himself sometimes.
I would agree with that.
Not saying that Bobby is not. I think that he just tried to get too cute with it and tried to use him too much just because he had him.
I don't know if it's getting too cute and trying to use him too much or saying, why on earth would we ever take the ball out of his hand?
Sure.
But
which, like we talked about with Quentin, sometimes that can be a detriment. You know, if you rely too much on one player, then they push themselves too hard.
So we don't know what to expect in football. Basketball, I mean, we don't know who from the current roster is going to be back. We don't know who the coach is going to be.
Massive.
We don't know what the recruiting is going to look like. I mean, this summer is going to suck.
We've got
– enjoy the hell out of baseball.
We've
is what
got
I'm
baseball
at.
And we've got the fighting Jeff Walls.
Yeah, and you got –
those are some constants
that's
now.
That's the only thing to hold on to. I mean, that's literally the only thing to hold on to. Yes, we got a –
by the way,
offense.
They're playing right now.
Yeah. And I think it was 21-21 last time I checked.
It was 37-35.
Horrible fouls.
37-35 Notre Dame at halftime.
Let's look at it this way.
Good game.
Football-wise – post Lamar, you know, you're looking at – you don't know what the offense is going to look like. Bobby's tailoring the offense around Juwan Pass, so we don't know what that's going to look like until we actually see it. Even the spring game is not going to tell us what we want to know. Bama sure as hell not going to tell us what we want to know. So we probably won't see the true offense.
Oh, yeah, we open with Bama.
Oh, yeah, that too. basketball-wise, I don't know if we go to Maui next year or Atlantis next year. I think we do. I thought we did, but maybe I'm wrong. You don't know. Like right now, who's our head coach?
We were in Atlantis last year.
You sure?
We lost to Butler there, or Baylor.
That was the year before last.
Are you positive?
You talking about last year or this season we're talking about?
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, you're right. We were in – yeah, okay, my fault. Yeah,
calendar-wise,
because we were about 20 on them, and they came back and won. I remember now.
I was watching it at Gerstle's.
Yeah, so you got that. And then football, new defensive coordinator, 9 starters gone, 9 new guys on defense. No telling what that's going to look like. I'm all for being surprised. I'm all for Louisville going to
Sometimes
Brooklyn.
Sometimes it's nice.
I'm all for going for Brooklyn. Yeah. For Brooklyn, the Brooklyn trip next week, for Louisville to win 4 straight and shot the hell out of me. Will it happen? Probably not. Is Louisville out of the tournament? More than likely we're going to the NIT if they even accept that.
Here's the funny thing.
What?
Like, and I know we're all programmed to expect the worst, and I'm with y'all. BPI still says we have an 86%
right.
chance to make the tournament.
Joe Lenardi said we're in.
Right.
Lenardi, you know what I mean?
Says we're in. And I buy into what Boombox Mike was selling when he called in.
That's true.
What was he selling?
Thursday night. Boombox.
What's that man selling?
Hey, Boombox came in.
Boombox came in hot.
He came in with that smooth gentleman. How we doing tonight? Look, I'm just gonna lay it down there, and then I'm gonna hang up, and I'm gonna listen to you, gents. He said, "Look, we're gonna be worst case scenario. We'll be in those last four in play in games because the NCAA is gonna say Louisville gets such high television ratings. Yep. This is a way to steal some ratings in a round that normally doesn't garner the most.
Right? That Tuesday night in Dayton.
It's not a bad. And honestly,
Louisville fans have come up with some cockamamie shit in the last couple of years. That don't fall under that.
Anytime you get to drop a cockamamie, it's always a great time. Boombox. Hey, shout out to the 70s pimp that called us yesterday, too.
I was about to say, the Cat 70s Daddy. Pimp. Jack.
Hey, what's going on, Jack?
Hey, Jack, I'm going to tell you like Jack. This.
I said, you have my attention, sir.
I said, okay.
Ron, is your name Ron, just by chance?
That's the dude who calls
Ike.
That's the kind of dude that refers to his gun as his pistol.
Yeah. That guy was cool as hell. I thought he had a mixtape first when he first called in. Hey, fellas, I'm going to tell you something, Jack. I'm like, nah, this guy's way too old.
Check out my SoundCloud.
he's a dude that gets one viral tweet, and he's like, why y'all are here?
Yeah. Dude, is that not a really funny phenomenon?
It seems like it's every single person who's got 800 followers, but one of their tweets blows up for 63,000 retweets. They all have a SoundCloud. Every single SoundCloud. One of them is like, why are you here, man? Check out my mixtape. You know, shoot. Like, nah, man, just because you made a joke about, I don't even know what.
But Joe, let's take a look at last summer versus summer 2017-18. You got Lamar coming back. You got all your starters on offense and defense coming back. You got a basketball team that's missing only one guy, Mango and Donovan. Yeah, still good with an incoming class that's highly touted.
Top five.
You know Rick's mad about – Rick was pissed off about losing the banner and shit. He's coaching angry, so we know we were going to have angry Rick, which is always a great thing. And then in a span of 3 weeks, man, September was just brutal for Louisville. It was just like, okay, well, we have nothing to look forward to now, and it sucks. It sucks. And one day – we'll be back on top. When that day is, I don't know, maybe.
We didn't get smacked until October, it feels like.
Yeah, but that last week of September was
– Clemson game, and then a couple weeks later –
Clemson, NC State.
The new news came down in the third week of October.
It was Clemson, new news, Boston College and Wake Forest.
Dude, trying to recall the timeline of everything that's happened at Louisville since the book is just insane.
It's just shit.
When you talk about done, this
it's
is
all
what a
shit
done
with
fan
a Lamar with
like.
A Lamar Heisman in the middle.
Yeah,
but then we had two players literally Florida get State shot less than an hour later.
Oh yep. No!
Like when I talk about we can't have nothing nice, it just anytime something good has happened, anytime something positive has come along to serve as some kind of spark, kind of reignite the fan base, get everybody feeling good about it again. Then tomorrow's another day, and let's see what bullshit it's got in store for us.
I'm looking for a Maisha and Asia to bring us another banner this year, man. Honestly.
Yeah, really, seriously, I need that.
I need it bad. I'm making my way up to Columbus if we make that Final Four.
I need
bro.
Anything. Just anything, man. Something to hang your hat on, at least we got that going for us. That's dope. And it's nothing there. I mean, I'm excited about football because I love being outside. I love going to tailgate. I love all that stuff about that goes
I love everything.
I'm excited for football because I love being outside. You don't have to limit that to football season.
You go hiking or some shit.
No, I'm not. I'm not a white guy. Anyway, I don't voluntarily.
I
love everything.
Nature.
I love everything about football. I love being football season because it brings out you're around other club fans.
You're
having fun.
You can't make Biscuit's never been sad at a pregame tailgate.
Right.
To talk in the third person like a freaking douchebag. Just doing it gives me douche bumps. You
right.
know what I mean?
Douche bumps? Hilarious. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I made that up.
Hey.
Let's just go with it.
Trademark it. We're rolling. But, hey, I love football, everything about it. Do I know what's going to happen next year? Hell no.
Football's is of all the sports, maybe hockey's up there too. I don't know, but
yeah, I'm not sure.
But, I mean, seriously, I like hockey. I go to U of L hockey games occasionally because they're a blast.
Dude, live hockey's amazing.
Yeah, but
it's hard for me to get into it on TV, but I love live hockey.
Right there, yeah. Right there. So I don't know how they tailgate for that, but soccer and football are on a level of tribalism that other sport bases, they don't rally together. Like if you're in a parking lot at a U of L football game or any football game or any soccer match for that matter and you're wearing the right colors, people will throw you beer and plates of food. And they're not like, hey, there's the hat, put money in it. Like
the
they
unique,
just want
to – Sorry, the unique thing that we've got going on at U of L baseball in the RV circle
lot, yeah.
Is awesome.
You're
and,
right.
And comparable to anything like that. But that's not everywhere. It just our setup lends it to that.
And it's in comparison, it's much smaller.
Absolutely.
But that's not. But that's not
to
discredit
parking lot. No, it's just. It's just a cool little microcosm, you know, of that whole scene.
But, whose RV did we go on at the Purdue game where you took me to?
Greg and Marsha.
Yeah, awesome people.
Cloud.
I was like, I'll walk with you over here. No problem.
Those are some of my favorite people. I've become very good friends with them through the Apocalypse crew. And they're in the RV lot for baseball games. They're at every Louisville road game event and all Louisville home games. They're just really, really good people.
You used to meet some, like, we met a guy last night, the guy who had Alzheimer's, who called the show on Thursday. Comes by the post game last night just to shake our hands. Orlando Larry, who I'll forever love, is one of the greatest car fans ever. And, like, just drives up to the games. I mean, just you hear the stories, and it's affecting everybody, Joe, man. And
the guy with ALS was awesome, man, because he called in Thursday night.
Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
I was like, which one? You guys had both?
Alzheimer's.
I forget what somebody said.
Someone had said.
And I was like, you know what? Yeah. End of the day, man, life goes on. And this isn't end all be all. This just really sucks for one aspect of your life. But if this is your whole life, I mean, hopefully you've got your health. You got your family. You got a roof over your head. Like, stop. Yeah. This sucks for, like, you know, one of your passions and one of your hobbies in life. Yeah. Supporting this organization hadn't been easy. But come on, man. The sky is not falling. Things have been worse.
Dude, 10 days in the hospital gave me plenty of perspective on this.
And this guy called in to talk about that, about how, like, you know, he can't control. He said that he tries to take the attitude, and he hopes that U of L fan base would, that he can't control how he ends, but he can't control how he gets there.
Yeah, he's like, I choose to be happy. I choose to be a fan. I choose to cheer for my team. And you look at the other
night. And he was up there at DiOrio's last night, and he came over to shake our hands and just say, hey, thanks for doing the post game. It was, and if nobody else liked us, he did.
Yeah, well. You look at the other night when Q and all those guys came back out there, heart crushing defeat, and they're smiling, taking pictures with fans.
Yeah, I mean those kids are. Here's the thing: they're far more mature and handling it with a far more grace than most of our fan base, and that says something when they're the ones that have to actually deal with this shit day in and day out.
It's the same thing with Jalen Johnson. How fans are like, "Good, glad he's gone," but now that you miss him, I've always missed him. I've always thought that not having him will kill us.
The day he left, I said, "We're gonna miss him a lot more."
And guess what? And next year, when whoever's here and Darius Perry is running point, and he makes a mistake, and there's no Q to go to, then what?
They're gonna.
You're gonna crap your pants then.
Same people that criticized him for 4 years are gonna wish he was here. We have a little bit of news. Rick Bozick says, Ding Adele and Ray Spalding named honorable mention of the All ACC basketball team. Honest Mahmood, first team defensive team, and runner up to Isaiah Wilkins from Virginia for defensive player of the year.
Oh,
so there you go.
Sweet. Good for those guys.
Yeah, good for them. Very well deserved.
You gotta update on the score,
especially Ray. Ray had a hell of a year. Became a consistent killer. And I think he's got the edge now that he needs to succeed at the next level.
Yeah, I think he's gone, and I'm glad he's going to go pro and chase his dream. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Any update on the score by chance?
Yeah, it was 40-35 Notre Dame.
Okay. Well,
and I will continue to update us throughout the we have
Biscuit?
Gone on a run.
Biscuit?
51-48 Louisville.
Biscuit, don't look out the window. Okay, you're looking.
There was Golden Retrievers. I saw them.
There's two of those.
I saw them. They're good doges.
Yeah, Biscuit Hearts mess when he says Golden Retrievers.
Yeah, there was a puppy video online.
I saw it, yeah. They got their dog a dog.
Oh, man.
Sweet.
Destroyed me.
Joe, you want to go to the mailbag now, or you want to?
I mean, honestly, most of the questions that have been answered on the mailbag are either trying to, like, instigate against other groups. And I'm not
There's
really
one I got that. That I would like to read.
The one from roommate Tom about dunking your junk, having your junk ripped up with paper cuts and then dunked in Tabasco, or watch this season. I would watch this season 10 times over before my junk goes anywhere near paper cuts or
It sounds Tabasco. Like somebody who's never had a cut on their junk or any kind of heating element on their junk.
I haven't either.
I've had both.
I don't need that problem in my
life. I have had a cut on my junk, and I've also had there's something called Red Hot, which is essentially like the Icy Hot, but it's the hot phase of Icy Hot times about 10 that was applied.
To jock straps?
Yes, to my wang.
Revenge of the Nerds.
And it was god-awful.
Yeah. You remember Liquid Heat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff, man.
Yeah. It was close nerds. To the same. Yeah.
There's certain parts of your body that
we forgot to practice.
Was that Jeff Goodman? Was he the coach?
John Goodman,
I mean.
We got
it was John, it was a young John Goodman.
We got mailbag.
You when got your open? Asses whipped. by a bunch of nerds.
What upcoming concert are you all most looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Big Crit and Sci High the Prince. I saw Big Crit last time he was here a couple years back, and it was a great show. And I may go again in March when him and Sci High come. That's about it. I really don't. Forecast is not happening for me. It's just not.
It's too hot, man.
And it's too expensive. I would really love to jump in there and go see T-Pain and all that. I think Vince Staples is coming as well, but I'm not. Like, when Outkast came, I kicked myself every day, but I wasn't paying for that whole ticket just to see everybody else and then wait till the end of the night to see Outkast.
Actually, that year's bill was pretty amazing, but I was in North Carolina. And once again, this year, I'm going to be in North Carolina that same weekend.
Kakalaka.
I'm actually a huge fan of all three headliners. And several of the guys down the ticket, there's a couple of alt country acts that I'm big into, Margo Price, and it's gonna be a great show. I'm not gonna be at any of them.
How's My Morning Jacket doing? I've heard their name in a couple of months or years.
They don't do a whole lot together anymore. Jim James is doing a lot of side projects. I don't know. I didn't like their last couple of records anyway.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
I really did. Honestly.
Here's a really unpopular music take, man, to say in Louisville, Kentucky. They're incredibly hit or miss, but I'll support everything they do because they're local.
Yeah. I mean,
for my ears, they're hit or miss. There's not very many albums.
They have a couple albums I love, but I feel like they really fell off for me.
There's not. I think there's maybe one, two albums where there's no skip on it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like my metric for how I rank your album. How many skips does it get?
Yeah, that's fair.
I've yet to listen to a full
Iroquois Amphitheater's lineup this summer is really good. Gary Clark is coming.
Yeah, I'll probably go back and see him again.
Yeah, June 4th, Gary Clark's here, which is going to be a phenomenal show.
He was great at Bourbon and Beyond.
He was. He was awesome. And I like Alt-J. He's here that exact week. He's here the Friday that week. So what's that?
Who's Jim Clark?
You would really like Gary Clark, I think. He's a blues guitarist. He's one of the best guitarists going right now, maybe
he's
the best.
He's the best out there right now.
In the world.
That's, and I don't want to hear my technical arguments from, like, well, this guy who does Buckethead from, you know, like, this metal guy can shred, and I'm like, that's cool, but Gary
Clark
Jr.
is still playing. Like, I fine.
Is Buckethead still out there, the guy with the KFC bucket on his head?
Oh, he's still around.
Does he still wear the bucket?
Mm-hmm. He's a weird dude, too, like, aside from, like, his obvious appearance being weird, but, like, guitarists, like, whenever they do, like, guitar magazines, like, do their top 100, he's in, like, the top 50.
And he wore, like a mask and a
mask and a KFC bucket. He's been around for years, long before Axl had him join the second GNR lineup. But, I mean, from, like, a technical standpoint, yeah, I guess he's, like, really talented and really good. But he makes stuff that nobody would want to hear.
Technically,
the dude's from, what was the band? Oh, God, they did Through the Fire and Flames.
Yeah.
Dragon Force. Technically, those nerds are, like, really talented musicians. But
you don't want to hear their shit.
Do you want to really listen to that? I don't.
The three headliners for Forecastle that I'm – Chris Stapleton, Arcade Fire, and Modest Mouse are three of them. I love them all, personally. So I'm kicking myself that I'm going to be out of town that weekend, but it's my family vacation, so it is what it is. And then Jason Isbell, Margo Price, and for my money, the best local band of the last 10 years, Houndmouth, is going to be there. And, dude, Houndmouth has one of the best albums of the last 10 years. I love Houndmouth, and I think their sound is incredible. For my money, the best local band of the last decade. But John Misty, War on Drugs, Vance Joy, Jimmy Eat World,
still alive.
For a little bit of 90s nostalgia.
It just takes some time.
T-Pain, Margo Price. It's Punch Brothers. It's a good lineup. It's for me, but once again, I'm not going to be here.
Forecastle's nuts. Well, there's that.
It is hot as balls, though, man.
Well,
it is hard.
July?
Like, dude, it's July. It's the middle of July in Louisville.
On a great lawn with no shade.
It is 90 degrees. Plus every year, and usually it's humid as hell.
Shout out to the Ohio Valley.
Like I sweat through my shirt by 2 o'clock last year. The one day I went, and it was not pretty.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gone to Forecastle.
I
was gonna go the year that Outkast and Bronson were playing, and then Bronson backed out at the last minute. So I was like,
I wanted to go to Outkast. They had the Outkast show live on Periscope or something. So I just watched it on that when
Same.
They came to them. That's when Outkast had reunited. It was like their second
I'm
show.
Still kicking myself that I didn't go to that, but once again, I wasn't here.
I saw Outkast in like 96 at Kentucky State's homecoming. So
how was it?
fucking awesome. Okay. Kentucky State's homecomings used to be legit.
I saw Juvenile like, down there.
Okay, so one year they had the Cash Money Millionaires.
Saw that one.
That was like, it was the Hot Boys, Big Timers. And I think that was
it. What you need, girl? I need that.
Another year they had the Rough Riders with Lox, DMX, Eve, Dragon, all them. Dragon. There was one year that we went to Walgreens before going to the movies in Franklin Square Cinema Park. And we're like, that's Busy Bone in Walgreens. No, that can't be Busy Bone in Walgreens. And we went back and met up with our friends at the theaters. We're like, Busy Bone's up at the pharmacy. I'm like, no, he's not. Yeah, he was. Bone Thugs was in town playing Homecoming that year. 8-Ball MJG, another year.
The people that came to Frankfurt to little old Frankfurt to go to a show
that
at K-State.
So that was really like crazy thing. When we were like 15, 16, even before we had driver's license, we used to make a lot of money because my buddy lived lived across the street from what's the name of the conventions? Oh, the convention center.
Okay. What's the name of the convention center? Oh, the convention center. Yeah, you got
actually
it.
Just the convention center. He lived across.
You mean downtown?
Yeah.
Kentucky Convention Center.
In Frankfurt.
Oh, okay. Frankfurt? Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
it's
I don't
just
know.
Called the convention center. So that's where the concert always was. And my buddy would just like make money parking cars for people. And you
hell
saw
yeah.
every damn Lincoln with the spare mm-hmm. on the back, the hooked to the trunk, and it had a gold Dayton on it.
Of course.
And like you saw license plates, man.
Dayton
it was everywhere.
Dayton rims.
Dude, it was everything from like, we would see license plates from like Arkansas and Georgia all the way up to like Michigan. I mean, people came from
it's a
all
cheap
over
ass
North
show,
Carolina.
Dude,
oh, dude, tickets were
that.
Like $20.
Yeah. And you're sitting in the gym. They had it in the gym and they
dude,
had it on stage.
One of the things I've always envied is every historical black college's homecoming. Like, it feels oh, like yeah. they all do it right, man.
Like, Howard does it big.
Like, it's a huge thing there. Yeah. It's the homecoming. Nobody gives a shit at most big schools. You know what I mean? It's just another thing. There's a couple of Greek organizations that care, and they nominate homecoming kings and queens and stuff. But the general student population can care less.
I remember Howard.
I mean?
Howard's big. Well, I remember I was watching one where they had a – ah, damn, what's his name? He's a DJ. And they just Penn State brought him out. He's a DJ. Forgot his name. White DJ. This is like really, really popular. And he did
Danger Mouse.
No, White. No. Like he did the song with Aloe Black.
Oh,
if you say his name, that's him. Has a what's the hell's his name? He's from like Denmark or something like that. I'll find it in a minute. But yeah, he does a great show. I guess you know who I'm talking about. It's just you don't. I can't remember his name.
The dude that did Foreign Exchange with Fonte. Nicolay?
I can't. I could, let me look it up because that's going to bother
me. Yeah, I have no idea.
Aloe Black's a dude I'd forgotten about. DJ Khalil, and that's not who you're talking about.
I'd completely forgotten Aloe Black was even a thing, man.
Yeah.
Where the hell? You don't really hear a lot from him anymore.
No. He had that Beats money. Ran off.
Wouldn't you?
Man.
Somebody gives me Beats money, I'm out. I'm out.
I got to talk about with the buyout, man. I'll take money and you'll never hear from me again if that's the deal.
Right.
Avicii. Mm.
Pay me $10 million to not work.
Yeah.
And I will do
not
that.
Not just that. Like I'll
I will
drop
not
off.
Work.
I'll drop off. I'll quit Twitter. I'll quit social media.
You'll
just
never
me,
see me
just
again.
Let me keep a phone with like 20, 25 contacts in it.
Yeah.
That's it. You'll never. I'll invite those 20 to 25 people to the island I'm kicking it at.
There it
that's
is.
It's probably going to be a place where like wealth and prosperity is based on how large of an adult son you are. That way, when I let myself go on my island,
it's like Little Italy in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
the fatter you are, the cooler you are. But
Avicii was pretty dope. I guess he was at Penn State doing a show with just him spinning records. That was it. Like him spinning records and like with a beat machine. And I'm like, they booked him to do homecoming. Like he plays records.
LJ's over there.
I feel like if you get hired to DJ any party at Penn State, you can totally put a CD in of somebody else who's actually doing the scratching and then just sit up there with like your hands on
right
like 6 inches above.
As long as you've got like a large board in front of you that only shows like you from the shoulders up and they can tell like your arms are moving, you don't even have to have anything. You can be doing exactly what I'm doing right now. I ain't got no turntables, but you can't tell. Yep. Lean in a little bit, lift that headphone up.
I say no, have one headphone off and
where
the other
my
one
headphones
on.
At?
And you just like, you know what I'm saying?
With your crayon.
Penn State, I can't hear you. Well, let me go to a question that I was asking. I'm going to ask you guys because it's starting to get out of control. It's starting to get out of hand. There's a picture circulating that we've all seen of the best new hotspot for barbecue in Brooklyn. It's taking over the world, and it's literally two pieces of brisket, a roll, and a pickle.
It's
and a jar of something.
Bro, there's no smoke ring on the brisket. None.
None. None.
Calm down,
no
Joe.
No smoke ring. There's a couple gherkins.
Joe,
they
relax.
Like full size pickles. And it's like every. It seems like a couple times a year, somebody wants to start writing about New York barbecue, and it makes me want to throw shit. Like,
no.
Don't. Just stop it.
Listen to this. Somebody told me the other day, and this is not even Sylvia's.
You guys got bagels and pizza.
Someone
and shit.
Said, why New York is the best place to get. Down south, home, southern like meals. I'm sitting here like, kiss my... Me being from South Carolina, I'm just like, oh, you sons of bitches.
Oh, the hell
you're not
say.
Getting this.
Okay, so...
Filet of soul restaurants like it.
Why soul
die.
Food is taking over the New York scene? Like, who's writing this bullshit?
You look at it as like a white guy, you know, making cornbread. You're like, dude, what the?
Here's Theodore and Martha Everett. They're taking over the soul scene in Brooklyn.
Well, it's like when people
some
tell
corn
me
red
that, it's like when people tell me that our stuff's the best barbecue they've ever had. I'm like,
have you been to the Kansas
only
City?
Hung out with like white people cooking right. barbecue? Because I make elite white person barbecue. I think.
Well, I mean, yeah, but go to Austin. And
but it damn sure I don't.
A bunch of white people that make amazing barbecue. You know what I mean.
So y'all came out to the restaurant yesterday. We hung out with Big Russ.
Shout out to Big Russ.
The Periscopes on my account.
That was a lot of fun, man.
We're gonna drop some video that LJ
that dude
got.
Is smooth as hell.
Yeah. Later. I'm glad you guys got to meet him because he really is a blast. And
just hearing him talk, I like New York accents anyway. So just hearing him say sophomore.
Yeah,
he's a sophomore.
No, he was canned as hell, man, and he shed some light on a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
we sat down, we put out a spread of a little bit of everything from the restaurant. So y'all got to check that out. Yeah, y'all seen a spread at my spot? I looked at that picture today and said, for shame. What the hell is wrong with you?
I've got pictures of what's considered by the public like the fifth or sixth best barbecue spot in Austin. I think it might be the best. It's the best brisket I've ever had at a restaurant. I mean, not you make, hey, but no. it's the best brisket I've ever had. Phenomenal house sausage. You know how they do in Texas. And
the problem with why you can't get good sausage here, because we wanted to do it, but to get uncased sausage, because if you get cased sausage, you're not going to really, it's not going to absorb the flavor.
No,
the
you're not making, like, it's all about making your own. You have to have a
that's
proper
a process,
machine.
And that's an expensive machine.
You have to have a proper machine. You have to.
Huh? Do you have one?
Oh, no.
Okay, I was wondering if you got the cases.
Oh, no, no. We had one at the old restaurant I used to work at. The nice restaurant I used to work at, Corbett's, I'd say it. It doesn't exist anymore. But they had a casing machine, and they were able to make some incredible sausages. I would love, if I ever get a chance to open my own spot, yeah. If I ever get to that point in my life, I'm going to find a way. I know it's not easy.
Well, the
I feel
thing
like
about
you
it,
find a way to make your own house sausage.
I mean, if you can make your own, then like I guess that might be a little different. I'm not sure, but the problem with sausage and chicken wings, to make money off chicken wings, you got to be Hooters. You got to be BW3s. You got to be pushing like that's Hooters. Your thing. That's what we do. Like
sure.
I'm sure Mama's breaks even on the chicken wings. They hope they
sell. It's about getting people in the door with
it's about
chicken
getting people
wing.
In the door, man, and ordering pork. Pork's what keeps the lights on. Brisket, there's not a price point markup like. That was why it took us a long time to get out of the red and get into the black, because people were coming in and they're ordering brisket, chicken wings. We're like, damn it, I don't make any money off that. I'm paying my employees at this point, so now we got to cut employees back, and it took us a while to get it figured out, and that's why wings are a one day thing on Wednesday.
Sure,
when they're gone, they're
pisses
gone.
Me out too.
Well, if you ever need some for like a catering order. Hit me up.
I needed some yesterday while we were there. I'm like, the brisket was fine. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
By the way, folks, if you're ever at FDKY, get your roll deep fried. My gosh. Sweet Jesus.
That's good.
I can only eat half of one, though, man. They're just so rich.
They're fried.
It was like eating a donut,
rich.
But it wasn't a donut. It was just like, what is this?
So that
the fries are elite there. I love those fries. I love shoestring fries and that seasoning.
The tater tots were good, too. But
they were too.
You can't
mess
up tater tots.
We also have like mac and cheese and real food, not just tater tots.
That's the most rich food I've had in a while, so I had to stop.
I didn't get the baby
because I ate like half the fries they put out there.
TJ was helping. TJ had the burgoo, and I was like, I'm starving. I got to get me a brisket sandwich, and then the guy brought me a roll, a bun which was like glazed with some other shit. And I'm like, okay, well, this is happening. I didn't get hungry again until late last night. I started to hit you. I'm like, hey, Joe, by chance, are you guys still open? Or are you at the shop right now, like, with the smoker going? I'm coming by to get out. I was starving.
Saturday nights, man, is the wrong night to try to hit me up because we are closed on Sundays. We like our employees and everybody to have Sundays with their family. Yeah, you don't have to go to church, but if you want to take your grandma to church or go take your parents out for lunch, we want you to have your own day of rest.
The
Sunday truce, huh?
Yeah, man, that's one thing that's really kind of bothers me about America when we talk about, like, America. We've lost our way, make it great again. We'll start treating like low-paid employees like human beings.
Shout out to Walmart and Target.
Let them have Sundays off, man. Sundays, to me personally, I don't think the if a bank isn't open, why am I open? That's my rule on business operating hours.
I think it's
if a bank ain't open, why
are you open on Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that?
No,
it's funny. The movie I watched.
We're closed. Okay, hold up, real quick. We close on 9/11 unless we do a memorial service with the McMahon Fire Department. Because you can't exactly be a firefighter theme restaurant, and unless you're going to do hellified promotions on 9/11, you can't be open.
Yeah,
we're closed on Memorial Day. We're closed on Independence Day.
Of course,
4th of July, Thanksgiving, Christmas. I'm missing a couple others.
Veterans Day.
Labor Day. All in all, our employees, they're 10 days on the calendar. Just about once a month, there's going to be a day where it's like, hey, we're not open that day, so you're – you know, because, I mean, that's important. To us, at least, it is.
Yeah.
That people actually – I think a big reason why younger people – I hear 50 and 60 and 70-year-olds talking about how they don't appreciate stuff like Independence Day and 4th of July. Well, no, they don't, because it's another damn day of the year to them, because they got to be at work at the movie theater. They got to be at work at the bar they work at. They got to be –
understand that we've shifted – one of the problems – well, it is a problem to a degree – we've shifted from an industrial society to a service society. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you become as advanced as we are, and it to the detriment of certain things. And in service industry, guess what? For the most part, they're open on holidays.
Well, let me tell you this.
Including movie theaters, including restaurants, across the board, with a few exceptions. You know, and that's one of those things. Bars, everything.
And that's because what's happened is people have said, well, everybody else has got this day off work, so this will be a great day for the movie theater industry. This will be a great – but somebody got to run the
Christmas.
Somebody's got to run the theater.
Yeah.
Well, here's my thing, and we talked about this a couple months ago. All of ours, strong connection to family around the holidays, especially your family and my family. I get so mad at my cousins on Thanksgiving because they're just like, well, we're leaving dinner, and we got to go Black Friday shopping. I'm just like, man, the hell with all that stuff. Do Cyber Monday, because those employees, I feel so bad for them. They got to cut Thanksgiving dinner short to be at work at 3 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day.
At least there's been a backlash last year. They started – a lot of big chains said, we're not opening on Thanksgiving. You have to wait till Friday.
Right. I mean, Cyber Monday is awesome.
Because that's just over the top. I mean, who does that? Who cares?
Walmart. It gets gross.
Who cares that much about stuff? Like, especially when you have Cyber Monday.
Right. But I'll tell you who does, man, and this is the sad thing. It's miserable people who don't have strong family ties on the holidays.
True.
They need an outlet.
Yeah.
I got members of my family that, man, they'll go – they spend all day Christmas Day at the theaters. They go check out, like, 4 damn movies. And you know why? It's because nobody wants their miserable asses at our house. And I'm sorry to say that, man, but after a point, it's like you can only say, you know what, man, you've been hijacking Christmas from me since I was a kid.
Right.
You're not doing it to my wife. You're not doing it to our family now. If you want to come around, you want to be invited to stuff, act like you had a little home training.
I will say, my sister, the year the Wii came out, she went – I mean, it wasn't on Thanksgiving. It was Black Friday. She got up at, like, you know, 3-4 in the morning and paid for their whole Christmas on buying Wii's and reselling them. So, you know, I respect the hustle. I get it. When you have 4 kids.
Hey, you man, know, you got to get creative.
But she didn't do it on Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? She did it on Black Friday. She put the work in.
Well,
you know,
story.
Bought like 10 of them and resold and paid for their whole damn Christmas on it.
Real quick story.
No, I ain't either. And it wasn't because – it was because of her family that she did it.
When DVDs came out, I wanted a DVD player so bad. I was in college. I wanted a DVD player so bad. That's all I wanted, a DVD player. I went to Circuit City. Remember that?
Yeah.
I went to Circuit City.
Yeah.
When you get done, I got a Circuit City story that y'all will be howling off
Dude,
of.
Dude, went to Circuit City. I'm in line over in Indiana by River Falls Mall, I mean. 4 in the morning. After 2 hours, freezing cold. And I go and I fight in line for this DVD player. Get home, and I forgot that I needed an aux cord so I could put it to my TV. I went to another Circuit City. They had a whole pallet full of them. It's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were still not sold out. I could have waited and slept in. I got so mad at myself, like, why am I out here? Why am I doing this to myself for a damn DVD player? And I had no DVDs.
See, I used to go to bed.
Just fired it up and watch that Sanyo logo bounce.
Right. Just make sure it goes in the corner, like on the office, like just waiting for it to hit the corner.
They all cheer and leave the meeting.
And it was a Sanyo.
I used to go. I never went in the mornings, never did any of that. But I'd go to Best Buy at like 3 in the afternoon because everybody goes for the big ticket items. But like HBO DVDs were always slashed and burned, and like you can get seasons of The Sopranos for like $10. You know what I mean? Like seasons of The Wire for you can get the whole series for $40. You know what I mean? Like, so I would go afternoon of Black Friday, no crowds, and just go pick up, you know, the entire series of like 3 or 4 different HBO shows and bounce out. That's the only time I've ever gone Black Friday shopping.
So I had a buddy, this guy, man, this hustler. He worked at Circuit City.
We're gonna call him a huckster.
He was is it red green colorblind? Is that the Okay. He was he was colorblind and he sold color TVs. Sold plasmas when they came out. He had this thick accent. He was from deep in western Kentucky, and he'd go, "Now, buddy, look at that picture, man. It's Claire Isabelle. Look at it. You see how that green looks? You see how that – look how sharp that blue is." And it was because he'd had someone describe to him what the colors on Finding Nemo were, because that was the movie of choice when plasmas first came out. You just walk into Circuit City and it's a whole wall full of Finding Nemo on the wall. Like, you remember that?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the first time I ever heard a surround sound system.
It's like a 40-year-old version where they're watching.
Well, and like the first time I heard a surround sound.
Bitch, get out the
room! First time I heard a surround sound was at Ovation, and they were playing the scene in True Lies where the jets fly up. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, it's behind us. So anyway, my buddy's
I love that movie.
My buddy's
shit!
He goes, my buddy says, He's trying to sell this this DVD player to a guy, and he's like, "Well, I tell you what, can you hook it up to that one over there? I want to check it out on that TV because I may just get the package." And my buddy freaks out because it's the red, yellow, and white cords, and he can't figure out which cord is which to plug into the TV. So the guy just snaps on him. He's like, "What's wrong with you? Like, why do you keep doing this?" And he's like, "I'm sorry, sir. I can't." He goes, "Boy, are you colorblind?" He's like, "A little." He goes, "No, there ain't no a little colorblind. Either you are or you are not." And he's like, "I am." "And you're selling colored televisions at $1,000 a pop. Boy, that's shameless. Shameful." So they moved him on over into the audio section the next week.
Of course. You think they're the Andy on 40-year version moving from the floor sales to like audio or something like that? You're handling washing dryers. And he's like, "I don't know anything about it." He's like, "Well, it's not that hard. Just go over there and do it."
Well, I mean, you can't see the damn plugs on the television. That's true. So, you know, you're going to learn about a washer and a dryer.
That's true. Well,
what other questions we got?
Most of the other questions, I got one from our boy Matt sent the barbecue one. And he sent the one about, he sent a coaching question that we've already answered.
Yeah.
But was that a 3?
Yep.
Sorry, we got the game on now, guys.
We got the game on. We're up 63-56.
Louisville's 5 minutes away from their first ever ACC tournament championship.
We have had 0 points from the bench today, which is odd, but all 5 of our starters are in double figures. We're up by 7 on Notre Dame, about 4 minutes left, I think. Is it 4 minutes?
Nice rebound, a kick out.
Yeah, Maisha got that board. Love that girl.
Yeah. No, I guess I didn't get any questions. Most of them about coaching and stuff like that.
Well, I was going to say. The movie I watched last night. I watched That Thing You Do last night, which I love. I love that movie.
I haven't seen that movie since high school either, so I don't think I'd watch it again because my memory of it is it's a really fun, lighthearted.
I love that
movie.
It's great.
Steve Zahn the drummer?
Yeah, Steve Zahn's the guitarist.
He's the guitarist. Yeah, the main character's the drummer, right?
Yeah, the Guy Patterson, and then Ethan Embry plays the bass player, and in the credits he's TB player. It's just the bass player. They never give him a name. It's incredible.
What movie was Ethan Embry in as a kid? Because it blew me away when I realized
he was in Vegas Vacation, but I'm trying to remember what he was in He might have been
Before that, because that was when he was a teenager and he wins all the cars.
Yeah, because he was
Nick Papadopoulos.
He was in Empire Records. That was around the same time.
I love Empire Records too.
Empire Records is one of my favorite '90s movies. Is Empire Records? It's
I like
so
Airheads.
Good. Another Liv Tyler movie. Liv Tyler and Ethan Embry. It's funny they're both in.
Yeah.
Liv Tyler's magic in That Thing You Do, dude. She is. Freaking adorable.
Mm-hmm.
But
I never watched
say this. His dad when he's reading the paper and he's like, open on Sunday, 12 to 6. I don't believe I want to live in a country where we have to work on Sunday. He's like, we'll just put that over there. You know, just
absolutely
reminded
man.
Me of that. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, dude, that, okay, so like.
That movie's great.
Real quick, and then we'll get to Artie's question.
That was the first Tom Hanks directing that movie. Directing job.
So let's talk about some kind of campy sort of. I think it's fair to call him corny, like that thing you do.
But it's
I don't
awesome.
Mean it as an insult,
no,
but it's good. Like, this is 90 minutes of my life that I'm just going to chill out.
It's a really well-done movie, though. Like, it's awesome.
So the movies kind of fall into that for me. That Thing You Do, Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I love Can't Hardly Wait. That is one of the most underrated teen movies ever.
Airheads.
Yeah.
Airheads has got so many good moments in it and, like, small bit roles of guys. Like,
there's a ton of guys in that movie.
Oh, dude, the guy who recently passed away.
Chris Farley's in it.
The guy who recently passed away that plays the angry black man hour radio.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, you
want to
take a
wire.
Step back, bro?
Yeah, he's in The Wire.
You're standing on my. Like, I love that line.
Yeah.
What are some other good ones that fall
Ernie
in that
Hudson's
same vein?
In that movie. Yeah. Joe Mantegna. Michael McKean.
Kramer.
Yeah, yeah. Kramer's in
he was
it.
The guy that was
Adam
in the
Sandler.
Dust, wasn't he?
Steve yep. Buscemi. Brendan Fraser play the band.
Yeah.
Who was the third
David
guy
Arquette?
In the band?
David Arquette
was in
there.
Dude, when he runs out, and then he's like, come on, man, take me back.
Hey, who was the third guy in the group? It was Brendan Fraser,
Buscemi, Adam Sandler. And
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler played Pip. Yeah. Pip, I ain't farting on no snare drum.
I ain't farting on no snare drum,
man.
Do
you
ever wonder what it's like to just be an egg floating?
The funniest thing, dude, that Brendan Fraser did, and me and my friends would like reenact this moment all the time when he took the contract to wipe his ass with it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, hilarious.
This guy wipes his ass with his record contract. Yeah. I love him.
That was Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson was the record executive,
yeah.
Absolutely.
With the soul patch.
Yeah.
It's unsolicited, can't touch
Let's
it.
Let's make some music.
And then they get
okie dokie super duper.
Yeah.
Let's make some records.
You're not exactly alone, are you? What is he talking about? Just play the damn record, Milo.
You're not exactly alone. There's three of you.
I love when Joe Mantegna is sitting there chasing Budweiser with Pepto. Like, it's just such a. And if you've ever hung out with Tony Vannetti, like the stories he tells, just even in passing. I mean, it's like all those old movie characters of rock shot, you know, DJs at a rock station.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the boys' club.
Yeah, for sure.
It wasn't real work. It was dudes in Hawaiian shirts drinking Budweiser. And,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of hangover radio. There's some other good ones in the 90s that kind of fall into that campy mix.
You said Can't Hardly Wait. They had an all-star cast in it as well.
Oh yeah,
dude.
I mean, just nuts.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Have you ever seen the episode of Punk'd with Jennifer Love Hewitt? Where they're like getting her to audition for something, and they keep having her. Like, I think at one point she's doing something ridiculous, like standing on one foot barking like a dog, like in Coming to America. They're doing all this stuff, and then they're finally like, she's like basically like, I'll do anything to get this work. I've been out of work for a while. And then they're
assholes.
Like, Ashton Kutcher runs in and is like, you've been punked. And she's like, Ashton.
Oh my God,
wait, there's no role, is there?
Are you paying me for this? Because I don't really need
it's
the
like,
money.
Yeah, maybe spot Jennifer $20 in validated parking.
Dude, like, some of the stuff he did was pretty ice cold.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, in hindsight.
Yeah, awful.
The Beyonce Christmas tree comes to mind.
That wasn't bad. The worst one to me was T.I. had just beat that. He just got like that felony, and he like gives him the bag full of bullets and a gun, and he's just like, I'm on 7 years probation, dude. I got kids. This is not funny at all. Ha ha. Like, he was really pissed about that.
Yeah, rightfully so. I never saw that.
He's like, this is my life.
Yeah.
This isn't
like,
funny.
That's not funny at all. Like, he didn't like it. I don't think of.
Dude, Kanye lost his damn mind.
The Rock lost his mind,
the game,
too.
The Game lost his mind.
Justin Timberlake cried because he thought
he was
going to
shit repoed.
Yeah.
Then Kanye took off in a van, like riding around the beach.
This is my film. It was the
Missy Elliott
Touch the Sky video.
Yeah,
it
was.
They had just filmed it, and they were trying to take his film. He was trying to take his tapes, and he was just like, it was Kanye before he was Kanye, just losing his mind on him.
I just remember the one about the game. The game parks his SUV inside a parking lot, and then they come out and they lay fresh cement like at the right in the entrance of it. And Game's on one side of it, just screaming. And like there's just a bench out there. He just throws that into the wet cement. They end up driving through it.
Dude, that one. The funniest one to me was Wilmer Valderrama
where they had the guy, they like took his car and they moved and brought in a fake car, and the guy's just busting the windows all out.
Oh, yeah.
He's
talking
with his chick. And Wendell's just like, that's my car?
Yeah, yeah. He didn't want any of it.
Because Ashton said that he had been banging the dude's girl, and that's why he was mad. And he ruined his car, and they were like, we punked you, whatever, do something about it. So, I don't know. You ready to get to the wire question from Artie?
Yeah. Artie asked the question.
There you go. Shot. Louisville's up 65-62 with, what was that, 235 left?
Yeah, 235. Need to stop away here, though.
Let me pull this up to make sure I read it correctly. We got, is the second season of The Wire the most underappreciated season of television in the last 20 years? Follow-up, should it have been spun off as its own subsequent series?
A, I actually, probably yes, just because I can't think of another season which is maligned as much as it is. And frankly, it's incredibly necessary to the story, and I don't think it's nearly as bad as people say. Like, if you got the worst season of the best show ever made, you still got good TV, in my opinion.
To me, The Wire, like I said, I can always say you can skip season two, but now I look back
at
it.
You really can.
You need the Sabaka storyline. You need to know how the Greek got there.
Yeah, the Greeks come back in.
You need to know Omar storyline, because Omar came back. Him and Brother Muzon had some interaction. Brother Muzon took over the towers in that time, the time where Avon was in jail. It all ties in. It was boring. It was unneeded, but
It was boring
at times, but it was needed is what I'm trying to say.
I think it's only boring if you compare it to season one.
Yeah, I don't think it's boring.
I think if season two had been season one, you know, it would be received a lot differently. I think instead of saying, season two is bad, if season two of The Wire was season one and season one were season two, then people would talk about how, like, you got to get through season one, it's not bad, but oh my God, season two is great. But then when you compare two to one, Then it muddies it up. I think he went from this really exciting, and the other thing too, because I think what's funny is the people that say that it's season two is awful, they're the ones that didn't watch The Wire in real time. Yeah. They're the ones that binge watched it. And one benefit you have when you binge watch something is that since it's all there and it's all compacted into one small, you know, time period, you're not taking years off in between watching them, you get a better feel for like, oh, that's the moment this show jumped the shark.
Yeah.
And
it was decent, don't get me wrong. Like,
I never had a problem with season two. I mean I
used to not like it, and then I realized exactly what you two said about it's needed.
It wasn't, like I said, it was needed, and it was essential to the storyline. It just slowed things down, because season one ended on like the foot floor to the pedal to the metal, like it's going fast, and then
everybody
all of a sudden
arrested, boom,
you slow down, you're on the docks. But the Sabaka Ziggy storyline was hilarious to me, because Ziggy was like the punk kid
Ziggy's the
with
worst.
The duck.
Like, let's talk about, honestly.
Go ahead.
Who's the worst character in The Wire?
Oh, Ziggy.
Ziggy's my pick.
I like Ziggy, man. He was funny. He was just annoying.
I mean, like,
he's such a disaster of a person.
I feel bad for him.
Depends on what you consider a character, because what the guy that Chris and Snoop, what's his name's stepdad, or the dude that was taking, you know,
Mike's stepdad,
Michael's caregiver, the guy that got
Bug's dad,
yeah,
the one that was molesting Michael,
yeah,
that's what it was.
It's strongly
hinted towards it. That's what it was.
Yeah, so I mean, like,
to me, man, Cheese,
that guy's pretty bad.
I like Method Man, but Cheese was so annoying. He set up his uncle.
Then Slim knocks him off in the last episode.
I didn't like your boy.
This man cost us money off some sentimental bullshit.
What's your boy's name? Not Burrell. Burrell's homeboy, the white guy, who was this is for you, McNulty. This one's going in your ear. This one's going in your eye.
Rawls.
Yeah, Rawls. Yeah. But Rawls was in a. Did
Rawls
you
was a dick the whole show.
Now, did you guys peep this one episode that he was in a gay bar?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure it wasn't just me. I'm like,
yeah, no,
when they were looking for Omar, he was sitting there in the game
bar. I was
always
wondering if they were ever going
to hit that
again.
They never went back to it.
They never did. They just kind of like, here you go.
They never went back to it.
Is he projecting? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what's going on with him? Because he always calls people, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was always.
He's projecting.
Louisville's up by one with 40-something seconds left.
With the ball.
With the ball and driving. So Louisville's 40-something seconds away from a championship.
So, yeah, I think there have been far worse seasons than The Wire season two in other programs. But I think the difference is that The Wire is the weird series where the disappointing season is early on in the show and it's still recovered and it has a crazy fan base. Every other season where you're like,
this isn't good. That's when the fan base falls off.
Yeah.
Either the fan, like The Walking Dead's still going on, but a lot of people cashed out 3 years ago.
But LJ and I still watch because we're not sure why.
I'm right there with you. I didn't know all three of us.
All three of us still watch. We're not even sure if it's a good show anymore.
I'm convinced it's not, but I'm still watching.
We have to see how it ends.
So get this, man. This is how I realized, like, I have nothing invested into this show. I don't, like, sit and bawl and cry during television. Like, I really don't. But there have been some shows where I got a little worked up. Like, in Sons of Anarchy, when Opie got off.
Oh, man.
I was
still haven't watched it.
I'm sitting there just like,
ain't right.
Man, he went out. He took one for the team.
Ain't right. But you got to do it.
Do him like that. But I'm watching Carl on Walking Dead last week. And, guys, I am so emotionally disconnected from that show. I was like, just die already.
Dude.
But I think that's the thing. Like, Carl is one of the most kind of hated characters on that show.
His arc, though, he went from being a snotty little, like, kid. In real life, he was a kid too stupid enough to, like, contemplate acting. And then as he grew up, it was like, Carl, when we first started watching him, my wife and I called him Hot Carl.
Hot Carl.
And,
Coral.
And,
Coral.
And then we were like, he sucks so bad. But then as the show progressed, he became one of the best characters.
He got Dale killed, damn it.
Honestly, last couple of years, like, I haven't thought about him, which is a great thing. It means that he's gotten less annoying. Like, I've been more worried about other people that suck, you know, but he's, you know.
Coral. You got Dale killed, Coral. Yeah, congratulations, you got Dale killed.
But it was funny listening because I actually watched The Talking Dead after. I don't usually watch it. I watched it after that last episode.
Right.
And it's funny because the kid kind of says all those things. He's like, I got Dale killed. It's like, it was one of my least favorite episodes.
The Walking Dead right now, the only reason I'm watching is because I want to see how it ends.
Exactly. We've talked about it. Like, How I Met Your Mother turned into.
This,
you know, like we were invested in the characters for like 5 or 6 seasons.
Yeah.
Then they jumped the shark, and we were just like, I don't know, it's not good anymore, but like, I'm going to watch it till the end.
I'm seriously having a brain fart on who Dale was.
Dale was the guy from Green Mound, like white beard.
First 2 years he died on the farm.
Yeah.
He was like a father figure in Andrea.
Yeah, his entrails ripped out. You know what I'm saying? But you look at characters like Negan, man, where it's just like, all right, this is 3 seasons in now that you're still trying to kill this guy, and the governor lasted like a year. Come on.
Yeah, well, they purposely drew this Negan storyline out.
Yeah.
No, they were looking at it to see who it went off of. They're not even calling.
That was a foul. But there's
Dale was the guy with the RV, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was his RV. So this is one. There's only one show that I hate. I don't want to see season 2. I don't care how it ends. I don't care how it ties in. Iron Fist was the biggest piece of shit.
Oh, God, that was awful.
I still haven't watched
created.
It.
Don't.
Because of y'all.
Dude, seriously.
Not one person said it was good.
Joe, I'm not joking, dude. Joe. This was my buddy Rock said it best. I was like, "What? How would you describe it?" Because I hadn't seen it yet. He goes, dude.
Notre Dame.
If you thought The Karate Kid whitewashed martial arts. Oh, my God.
Do you know they're bringing back The Karate Kid as a spinoff?
Of course.
It's called, like, The Cobra Kai. Mm. And Johnny is going to be running The Cobra Kai, and him and Ralph Macchio are still beefing after 30 years. I saw the commercial for it. I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Ralph Macchio.
This is like a TV show on Spike TV, right? Like, this is the movie?
It's going to be on, like, YouTube.
Yeah.
Live or something
Facebook
like that.
Live.
As long as they says sweep the leg, put him in a body bag, I'm good.
All they said, they had Johnny in there, and they had Ralph Macchio. He's like, this is today, Johnny. And it was like, Cobra Kai coming this fall. Like, what the hell is this? But Iron Fist, Danny Rand, and Center My Chi will forever be something that pisses me off. You can say Center My Chi or Danny Rand. It pissed me off so much because here comes this guy listening to Wu-Tang and all this rap, and he's so cool, but he's been raised by monks in the wilderness and all the, in the Arctic or whatever what the hell it was, and he shows up with no shoes on. He's Center Chi the whole damn season. It sucked.
It's the
Louisville ball. Louisville's up by 2 with
19 seconds.
19
some
seconds
people,
left.
Some people can't put down a buck and not finish it.
Is that a
I'm
bank?
That way with like TV shows. I at least got to get through the series.
I struggled.
I didn't finish it.
I made myself finish it.
I didn't.
I made myself.
It's the first show I ever picked up and didn't finish because I was just like, man, this is awful.
What'd you think about the Defenders?
Awful. End of the day. I mean, like,
yeah.
I like Luke Cage a lot.
You like Jessica Jones?
Yeah, I thought that was really
good. I was bullish on that, and then Kevin, our boy Kev, was like, go back and watch. I was like, all right. So I watched. I was actually intrigued by it. I liked it.
It's really good. But
Daredevil was good, too.
Anything with Iron Fist in it just immediately sucks.
Dude, Danny like Rand,
they messed
me
up
off.
That casting, dude. They got a blonde guy playing, like, oh, man.
They got a blonde guy, from Lord of the Game of Thrones, matter of fact. Danny Rand's a blonde guy walking around like a little, just, the center of my, he's always talking about my chi. I can't center my chi. I can't, I'm the Iron Fist. I'm the immortal Iron Fist.
That's what I do. I just walk around. That'd be entertaining to watch,
though. It was really bad. Punisher was dope, though.
Hell yeah.
Still haven't watched it.
You need to check
it out. Punisher did a really good job.
When everybody was upset at Iron Fist, I kind of backed away from the entire Marvel Netflix. I mean, I'm going to watch it eventually. I'm just having a hard time getting started on it.
Watch Punisher. Punisher's legit.
Like, I love Daredevil. I did.
If you like Daredevil, you're going to love Punisher.
I just hate Foggy.
Oh, no, man. Foggy's cool. He was the goon in Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, he was. One part of the Bash Brothers.
Yeah, is that.
So the thing about Punisher that I thought was incredibly impressive was that they almost they didn't know. Like, they didn't know if they were going to run it because it was set to premiere the week after the Vegas shooting.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was kind of like, what's the whole, how did we promote a superhero with no superpowers other than
he's
a vigilante with military training, possible PTSD? And,
possible,
you know what I'm saying?
Hell, you saw the series.
I'm trying not to spoil anything for Dave.
Right, I got you.
But just like, even the intro itself, think like
I'm pretty familiar with his characters.
The intro to the show on each episode, think a Bond intro but with guns.
Yeah.
So it's like really kind of let's see how they pull this off and can they do it tastefully? Because I thought they were going to pull it. I thought they was going to bite the bullet and they were and it was because they talked about it, and then when they finally went with it. We watched it. I was like, man, that's a great show about a dude with a lot of guns that doesn't come off like
the amount of
totally insensitive to what's going on right now.
I typically don't get like offended or grossed out by like a lot of violence or whatever. It's just like what it is. I grew up watching Rambo and Commando and all that stuff. But I was like, that's pretty graphic. Goodness. Like, he did that? Okay, cool.
I knew when he got tortured in that first season of Daredevil, Punisher was going to be lit.
Punisher was lit. But I knew when I saw like at the end of Punisher how it ended the last couple episodes. Where he's like finally face to face with the guy who screwed him over. It's just like, nah, this is brutal as hell, but I can't stop watching it. It's a great show.
Yeah, I highly recommend
Luke Cage
it.
To come back too.
Luke Cage is that show, man.
Louisville up 4-10 seconds, and they just got the ball still, and they got fouled. Louisville is 8 seconds away, and they're going to the free throw line, up four, and they're about to be the ACC
to the free
champions.
Throw line.
Nice.
No points off the bench.
Shout out to Jeff
Walls,
man.
Erica Carter is probably the MVP of the game today.
Yeah.
Asia Dirk 16 points, line. 5 assists, and just she's had a couple clutch buckets here.
But I stopped on my rewatch of The Wire on season 1, so I still got to go back. But then
I finished
the,
already.
The summer's coming, and we can do that.
I busted through.
The summer's coming, so we can start it back up. And I still want to – I'm going to watch Homeland because I never watched any episode of Homeland, and everybody's like, go back and binge watch it.
Man, see, Homeland was really good for a couple of seasons, and then there was one year that I was telling my buddies that I quit watching. They're like, oh, yeah, I did too. Pick back up on the next season. You don't miss anything other than Carrie just being Carrie. So I was like,
you know,
I saw the preview for this season, and it kind of looks.
I still haven't watched Homeland either.
I gotta go back and watch.
It's one of the ultimate misdirections in a show I've ever experienced.
Wait a minute, did you watch Dexter?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How'd you feel about?
Hated it.
Okay.
Hated the way it ended, and that's kind of where I say that people with that binge watch The Wire. If you binge watch it, it's really easy to say season 2 is crap. If you watched it live and had to wait a year in between seasons, you're like, hey man, season 2 is all right. It wasn't as exciting necessarily. When we watched Dexter. I could tell you the exact moment when that show went off the rails, and then when I looked it up, I was like, oh, okay, yep, that's the season when the writers left. They went to go do Nurse Jackie.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had a new team of writers, and the show was never good again. And have I ever told you about what the original writing staff wanted to do for the series finale?
And it would have been great had they did it that way. It would have been great had they did it that way.
That would have been so much better than him washing up in Portland as a lumberjack.
I thought he was in like Maine or Utah or something like that for some reason. I don't know why, but
whenever I see beards and lumberjack, I just assume you're in Oregon.
Yeah, and like what happened to it? I mean, it's a whole bunch of stuff that happened with that man. That
when Rita died, that was the jump the shark moment. I thought
it went it spiraled after that. But that and I love Shameless, but they're getting lazy with Shameless. This year was just
I kind of hate
she hit it
too.
Oh, it's game over.
This game.
She hit it from half court, though. Hey, Louisville has just won the ACC championship, 74-72. Asia Durr is going crazy. Notre Dame hit a shot from half court to win. I'm sorry. I didn't know that we were still off. I had flashbacks of Thursday night, though.
We still won.
Yeah, we won the game.
We were
Louisville,
up by 5, and they hit a half court shot.
Louisville is your regular season and ACC tournament champions, and more than likely a 1 seed in the tournament next year. So congrats to the Lady Cards.
Guaranteed a 1 seed with another elite win.
That's awesome, man. Good job. Good job to Jeff Walls and the women.
I was going to say, not to go back to The Wire, but
you can go back to The Wire.
One of my
this is a wire friendly
absolute yeah. One of my absolute least favorite characters is Carcetti. I can't stand
the mayor.
Our,
I mean, the governor. Well, mayor, then the governor.
Dude, once Carchetti, once I mean, he's duplicitous to begin with. Carchetti. But as soon as he turned down the governor's money for the city,
yeah,
I was done with him.
Well, Carchetti, so he became Carchetti Littlefinger, like whenever we see him and stuff. Yeah. Now he's also in Peaky Blinders.
I haven't watched
yet. Oh, you haven't seen Peaky Blinders?
I haven't watched it. It's in my queue. I don't have a ton of watch time.
See,
I've got to chop it up.
Well, no, man, and that's the thing. Like for me, I've always got Netflix running on like a tablet or something when I'm cooking.
Right.
And there are a lot of episodes like I have to run it back because I got busy and I didn't necessarily see it, but I've got that on in the background like all the time. Peaky Blinders. Other people told me you may need to turn the subtitles on at certain points. I didn't have to, and I think that's just because. Working in bars and being a frat guy at U of L and partying and everything, I've become very fluent and mush-mouth drunk, so I can handle a British carny. But Tom Hardy's SOB on that show, man.
What is this on?
It's a Netflix original.
It's called Peaky Blinders?
It's about 1919 British street gang. They're basically the Kennedys of Britain.
Huh.
And... it's the main character is the dude from 28 Days Later.
The guy that was working in the hospital?
Yeah, Cillian Murphy. You've also got Littlefinger's in there. He pops up on the latest season. Tom Hardy. It's a real quick show to get through. They've only got – it's four seasons, six episodes a season.
You know what 45,
50 minutes an episode.
Did you watch Boardwalk Empire?
Uh-huh.
I watched every season.
I didn't watch every season. I fell off on that. I need to go back and finish it.
Yeah, go back and finish it. But like Nucky – what's his last name? Nucky whatever. I forgot his last name. Nucky Thompson. Yeah. Nucky Thompson was great, man. I don't like the way it ended. I don't like the last season they did. But other than that, it was a great show. It was slow at times, but it was, you know, the whole thing about bringing alcohol and, you know, whorehouses and just gangsters. And Al Capone was on there at one point. It was pretty dope.
Yeah. I mean, I always heard really cool things about it. It was something. I don't know. That may have been the point in time when, like, we had canceled HBO. You know, I'm trying to think of why I didn't watch it.
I haven't finished the season or the series. I've watched the first two seasons about. But.
It's one of those shows I feel like I got to be in the right mood and I got to be ready to binge something.
I hear you.
Because it's just, it kind of moves slow.
It's tough. Sometimes I got to get out of series when they're, just because like I don't know. I don't have that much time.
Well,
like,
when you're like binge watching a series, dude, a lot of it comes down to like, where am I mentally? Do I want to watch something that's dark? Like literally,
the
lighting is dark, or the storyline is depressing.
And it's 11 o'clock at night. Like, am I trying to go to bed, or am I trying to watch the series? And like,
I've started Ozark and still can't get, like, I can't muscle my way through the first season, but it's really good.
Yeah,
I think I always struggle whenever Jason Bateman plays a serious role. Like, he can do it. He's just one of those guys. I'm like, come on, man. Get a joke in there.
Hey,
Jason.
Make the funny.
Yeah.
Make the funny, Jason.
Great.
Ozark was great. Man, where are we at on time, Joe?
An hour and a half.
Where are we? I mean, y'all got anything else today?
Well, I was going to say real quick, and we can leave after this one. Just yes or no, whatever you want to say about it. Are we going to the tournament?
Yeah.
We need to beat Florida State, I think. But, I mean, that experts don't think so, but I think we need to.
Do you think we've done enough to make the tournament, at least as a last four in?
Probably.
Joe Lenardi said yes.
I personally don't understand how – I don't believe we have, but Joe Lenardi says we have, so who am I to argue
with
him?
You put us next to other people in a comparable position to us, they don't have three Quadrant 1 wins.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them only have two. They don't have the strength of schedule we do. So I understand why we probably going to get the nod. I mean, I get it. And I hope it's true because these kids deserve a chance.
The other thing too, when I say like, oh, I don't think we will. It's been a long time that I had to like concern myself with like 11 seeds and what it takes to get in. Is that, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
As a Louisville fan, you're kind of biased.
We're either going to be a one or four,
right?
I mean,
you're dealing with four or better.
Yeah,
and so I don't really.
I've
gotten
year.
Spoiled, and yeah. I don't know. But if Joe Lenardi says we're in, then we're in.
Usually Louisville's been a lock like mid-February. Nothing to worry about. We're already like at 20 wins by then. Now it's just like we haven't been a bubble team since 2010, and it took like a big win over Syracuse at home in Freedom Hall to break in. We had it on Thursday, and then it happened.
And we went and got
so
our
now,
ass kicked by Cal.
I said, I don't know what David can tell this team. All I know is that Bunny Coven's going to be ready on Wednesday at noon. And then if you get that, you got Tony Bennett. So if you're pissed off about what happened on Thursday and you want to get back on Thursday, on next Thursday, a week later, then go do it. But until then, I think Louisville's firmly in the NIT as a one seed in the NIT and playing at home or at Freedom Hall. That's what I think, until they prove me otherwise. But right now, this team's got to get pissed off enough, and the staff has to get pissed off enough to get them to bring that greatness out of them that we all know is there. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know if – I mean, I think that the will is there. You'll never explain to me why we turned the ball over 20 times, you know, against NC State. I mean, we really don't know how to value the basketball, and I don't understand it. Like, it's just – it's boneheaded, you know, get lost in the woods, throw the ball to nobody, you know, or just give the ball to the other team. And that's what I think infuriates people more than anything, like, not to kill the kids at all. It's not – it's that we've seen them play so well, this group, this year, and then we see them just inexplicably play so bad. And that's – and I know they're trying. It's not lack of effort. You know, it's just maybe they're pressing at times. And I just I want them to find that happy medium where we've seen them a couple times the last few weeks. Virginia Tech's a great example where they just play well together. And I hope it happens this week for their sake, because they deserve to end this season on some kind of a positive note.
We need it.
Like, I would love to see them, you know, get in the tournament as a 10 seed, you know, and make it to the second weekend somehow. You know, like, it's what these kids deserve, and they have the talent base to do it. I'm hoping, not hope.
Yeah, that's. I mean, we're dejected, we're exhausted, we're tired, and I know
feeling, they're feeling 10 times more.
Yeah, so.
Exactly. So
as fan base and the team, we want that. So I'll leave it at that.
That's
I'll
what
take my headphones off.
And thank you to the ladies for going out there and kicking people's teeth out.
Oh yeah.
Now we can still say we are ACC champions as Louisville fans. Mm-hmm.
First conference tournament championship for the women in 25 years.
That's awesome.
They've got the goods. They deserve all of your attention. So go ahead and when they host the first two rounds, which they will, at the Yum Center, they deserve 10,000 people in seats. So let's give them to them.
All right, so.
Love you, Louisville.
Be cool in this hot city.
Keep your head up, and let's support these kids the next couple weeks.
Help the show by leaving a rating and review behind on iTunes, Google Play, and on the Stitcher Radio app. Plus, you can dig deeper with the guys on Twitter, Facebook, and at thecrunchzone.com. Thanks for listening, Cards fans.